Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're seeing that the Old Testament high priest was a shadow of our great high priest now, Jesus Christ. So let's look in our Bibles at the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, as we go back to basics.
The Lord has the strength, and he will supply the power, and he will bring his church to that appointed destination, which is to be with him in glory. And we can have total and complete confidence. You know, there has been throughout history, and there still is today, a ton of opposition to the church. There are people today, just like there's always been in every century, that would love to see the church completely destroyed, completely obliterated. But the promise of Christ is, you remember, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So we're going to survive. We're going to make it. He's going to carry us through. But the picture, again, is that of us collectively. But this is an important thing to know, that we are all part of one another, and we're part of this larger worldwide body, and God is working out his ultimate purpose to bring all of his people to glory. And this is stated in a number of ways plainly, but one of them that I really appreciate is there in Jude, verse 24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling or stumbling, and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy." So that's, in a sense, that promise right there is what's being communicated through the priest bearing the names of the sons of Israel in these precious stones upon his shoulders. So here we are, all together as the church. We can all rest and have confidence. The Lord is going to complete his work. He's going to carry us through. He's going to see us through. But the breastplate takes it a step further and shows us that God's love for us and his concern and his commitment to us is not just to us collectively as the church, but he also has love and concern for us personally and individually. The breastplate was embedded with 12 precious stones, each one engraved with the name of one of the sons of Israel. And notice where it was born. It was born upon the heart of the high priest. It was born upon the heart of the high priest. Each one of these stones, they were gems. They were precious gems. And in each one, now individually, was engraved the names of the sons of Israel. And there they were, born upon the heart of the high priest as he went before the Lord. And this would then be that picture of the preciousness of each individual believer to Christ. The great liberating revolutionary truth that we have but don't always grasp is the truth that God loves me. God loves me. God loves you. God loves us, yes, collectively, but he also loves me personally and individually. You know, sometimes we hear people talk about love, you know, and, you know, oh, I just love everybody. I just love the whole world. I love all people, you know, I love, and you know, it's fairly easy to have that sweeping kind of love. It gets more challenging when you get down to individual persons that you actually have to deal with on, some sort of a regular basis. Then you start to reevaluate the magnitude of your love for all people. But, we can all say things like that at times, can't we? And, I remember one of the great, I thought, illustrations was, remember years ago, the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, and so forth. And I think John Lennon was primarily responsible for that song. Probably a Lennon-McCartney, they wrote it together. But, the irony, of course, is that the band broke up because they couldn't get along with each other. So, All You Need Is Love. We don't have any of it, but that's what everybody else needs, But it's these kinds of things. So, sometimes we can understand even maybe, yes, I know God loves me because I'm part of that bigger body, the church, and he loves all of us. But we have a hard time laying hold of this truth, but it's really the truth. God loves us individually. We're each of us precious to him. Now, you might think, but I understand that for some people, but, you don't know where I've been, or you don't know what I've done, or you don't know what kind of a person I really am. Here's an encouraging word. If you have any doubt about God's love for you personally because maybe some flaw in your own life, I just invite you to go back into the Bible, back into Genesis, and read about these 12 sons whose names were engraved on these stones. Because this was a rough group of guys. They were by far anything but a saint from the human standpoint, these guys. These were normal, sinful, and sometimes unbelievably deplorable human beings. And yet these are the names that are engraved on those stones. So the reality is, your name is engraved there as well. And so is mine. Christ loves you. He loves me. We are precious individually to him. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he records his prayer. And the prayer begins with a request that we would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And then he prays this, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And then secondly, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now that second part there, it almost seems like Paul got it wrong. It almost seems like what he meant to say was that we would know what is the hope of our calling and what are the riches of the glory of our inheritance as saints. But it doesn't say that, as much as it seems like it should say that, because, of course, we're the ones who would think that the inheritance, this glorious inheritance, this is something that's coming to us from God. But it says what it says, and what it means is that we are God's inheritance. And what Paul is praying is that we would know what are the riches of the glory of the fact that we are his inheritance. We are his treasure. We are something of great value to him. And that's Paul's prayer, that we would know how valuable we are to the Lord. Over in the third chapter, he prays again. And he prays that we might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. The love that Christ has for us. When you know that somebody loves you, it has this amazing ability to liberate you. It has this amazing ability to secure you, to alleviate fear from your life and things like that. If you're questioning somebody's love for you, let's say you're married and you're questioning right now whether your husband or your wife really loves you, that is an unsettling thing to have going on in your heart, isn't it? Or, you know, maybe as a child, you questioned, you know, I don't know if my parents really loved me. They never really told me they loved me. They never really showed me too much that they loved me. And as a result of not really having confidence in the love of others, there's been an insecurity in your life. There's been a fear in your life. There's been this underlying issue that's been there. Listen, even though that may be true, that you did not experience the kind of love you should have maybe as a child, or maybe it's even true that you haven't experienced that in the context of a relationship like marriage, know this, that whether or not any human being has ever been able to genuinely love you, know this, God does. And the reason I say that is because so often what we do is we project onto God what we experience from other people. So many people have said this, I can't think of God as my father because I had a horrible father. A lot of people have had bad examples of what it is or what a dad is supposed to be. But what we have to guard against doing is projecting that onto God, because God is not like that at all. And God's love for us is true, and it's perfect, and it's full, and it's complete. And he loves us individually. Listen, Jesus said it like this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then Paul communicated it this way, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know that today? Do you know today that God loves you? You need to know that. It's a fact. It's the truth. You say, well, I don't know. How do you know? How are you so sure? Well, he told us. The thing that God has done is he's not merely said, I love you, but he's demonstrated it. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life. Paul says, the Son of God loved me. How do I know he loved me? He gave himself for me. Here's what Paul said to the Romans. God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The big question is, well, how do I know that God really loved me? The answer is, he demonstrated his love. He showed me his love. He showed me his love by giving himself for me. And now that he's demonstrated his love by giving himself for me, he wants to pour that love out upon our lives. And that's why Paul goes on in that same passage and he talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. But what happens to us is so often we allow the circumstances of our lives, what we have done or what other people maybe have done to us, we allow those things to develop in our minds a certain image about ourselves, and then we deem ourselves unworthy of God's love. We deem ourselves incapable of experiencing God's love. So when we hear a message about God loving, we think, yep, that's true. He loves everybody else, but he doesn't love me. He does love you, and he showed you. He demonstrated that love for you. He demonstrated it ultimately upon the cross. But even in the garments of this high priest. This is the amazing thing, as we pointed out before, about the scriptures. All the way through, the same message is being woven in and out. And here, as we look at these priestly garments, we're finding indications of God's love. There with the high priest, with that breastplate over his heart, and those onyx stones upon his shoulders. And so the priest there bearing the sons of Israel upon his shoulders, speaking of Christ, his strength and power to carry us through to glory, bearing there over his heart those precious gems, speaking of his individual love for us. There, that picture of the high priest. Now, all of this comes together when we come to various statements in the New Testament, especially the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is the New Testament commentary on much of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, some of those hidden things there that are very significant, they're brought out to us in the book of Hebrews. So let me close with this passage. Again, going back to Hebrews, we've quoted from it a few times today, but I want to pick up in chapter 4, verse 14. And these would be great verses to turn with me to, and if you've got a pen, to highlight these verses. And I want you to think of these verses now in the context of everything that we've just said. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, you see the point? The point is this. If I don't know anything about the high priest, then when I read, seeing then that we have a great high priest, well, the significance of that is lost. But once I understand who the high priest was, what his ministry was, and what his whole ministry symbolized, then when I read this passage, it makes all the difference in the world to me. Oh my goodness. We have a high priest, just like Israel had a high priest who mediated, who sacrificed, who interceded, who bore the burden of the people upon his shoulders, who had them over his heart, expressing his love. We have the same thing, but in a greater sense, in the person of Christ. And since that's the case, he says, let us hold fast our confession. He is writing to people who are in trouble. He's writing to people who things are not working out the way they thought they were going to work out. He's writing to people who are thinking, maybe we should forsake this faith in Christ and maybe we should go back to what we formerly knew. And he says, don't do it. All the way through the book, that's his message. Don't do it. And here he says it in these words, hold fast our confession. Hold fast our confession. And things might get rough, and we might go through hard times, and we will go through challenging seasons where we don't understand what's going on. But remember this, we have a great high priest who loves us. We have a great high priest who's committed to carrying us through to glory. We have a great high priest who is presently making intercession for us. He has made that ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, and he's there as our mediator. So hold on to the confession. Don't let go of it. And then he says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amazing. How many times have we felt that we're going through something that nobody understands? And often, don't we transfer that over to God as well? We'd say, Lord, you don't understand, Lord. You just don't know what I'm going through. Oh, you can never say that to the Lord. You can never say that to the Lord. Not because he's omniscient and he knows everything, although that's true. You can never say that to the Lord because he knows what you're going through because he's been there. And that's why it says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Somebody who's out of touch, somebody who's detached, somebody who doesn't really know what's going on in your life. But we have a high priest who is sympathetic. Why? Because he's been where we're at. He was tempted. He was tested in all points as we are. Yet, of course, he was without sin. So, now listen. This is what it tells us. Let us therefore, because we have this great high priest, because we have this sympathetic high priest, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice it's a throne of grace. When we come before the Lord, it's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of condemnation. It's a throne of grace. Oh, but the devil would want us to think, oh, you're unworthy. You're unlovable. You haven't been that righteous person. It's a throne of grace. We don't merit it. We don't come before it because we deserve to come before it. We don't come before it because we've done always all the right things and therefore this is our ability to access it because here I am. I'm Mr. Perfect Christian. So I come right there to the throne. That would be a throne of works. if that were the case. No, I come to the throne of grace, sometimes crawling. Lord, here I am. It's a throne of grace. And what do we find at the throne of grace? Well, remember, it's at the throne of grace that one is there making intercession for me. What do I find when I come to Jesus? I find him there making intercession for me, not condemning me, not rejecting me. But I come to that throne of grace for what? To obtain mercy and to find grace to help. Two of the greatest words in all the world, mercy and grace. And that's what you get at the throne of grace. You get mercy and you get grace. And that mercy and grace is for anything and everything imaginable. And I would not underestimate in a group this size, and many people listening through the various media, that there are a number of you out there who feel like you have been involved in things, you've done things, whatever, you know the details, that you have therefore considered yourself ultimately unworthy and not a candidate for the grace of God. Well, let me tell you this, you are very much a candidate for the grace of God. That's what the grace of God is for. Mercy and grace to help. It's for sin. It's for sinners. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. And I have talked to people who have defiled themselves in unbelievable ways. And they're crushed over all the things that they've allowed themselves to be engaged in. And they can't believe they ever went to where they went. And of course, the big problem with that is always to think of, but how could God love me? How could God really forgive me? How could he receive me back? Well, this is how he does it. Because Jesus took all of those things and he nailed them to the cross. They're all dealt with at the cross. And so what you find at the throne, because it's a throne of grace, you find mercy and you find grace to help you. Whatever the need is, if it's a need for forgiveness, the mercy and the grace is there. If it's a need for perseverance, the mercy and the grace is there. If it's a need for provision, the mercy and the grace is there. Whatever the need might be, there's no limitations on what we can and cannot bring before the Lord. It's wide open. Whatever we need, we can find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Why? Because we have a great high priest, of whom Aaron was merely a shadow. He was just a shadow, but a picture that gives us some insight visually to the great love that our great high priest has for us. Open up your heart to that love. Just embrace it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make yourself, you know, worthy. Don't worry about that. Just say, Lord, I receive that love. I believe just by faith, even though I don't feel it, even though to me it's hard for me to see it, but Lord, I believe it because you said it, and therefore I receive it.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Our Great High Priest, and the resource number is OBB516. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.